Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Casey's General Stores, and we're going to kick off season number 8 of the Dirt Show with a very special guest, Sprint Car Hall of Famer and television commentator Brad Doty. We will also hear from Ron Bernhagen from St. Croix Valley Raceway, Bob Baker from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, and our old friend Speed from Cookies Barbecue Sauce, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Need an ATV that works hard? Want one that's fun to ride? With so many options, it's easy to pick a 2015 Honda Rancher with the right features for you. You can choose between manual, electric shift, or automatic dual clutch transmission, independent rear suspension, or swing arm configurations. That's just a start. No matter which Rancher you choose, you'll always get the value and versatility of a Honda. Get the best on earth, the 2015 Rancher lineup at Trimble Cycle Center in Austin. For riders 16 years and older, Honda recommends that all ATV riders take a training course and read the owner's manual thoroughly. Trimble Cycle Center in Austin, the USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
Every day he sees her, and his heart skips a beat. From the way she walks, smiles at him, to the laughter she shares, eating Casey's pizza in the lunchroom. Day after day, he tries to say what's on his mind, but he opens his mouth and nothing comes out. So he writes it instead, on the lid of a box of fresh Casey's pizza, laid on her table. Will you go to prom with me? Her answer? Yes. Casey's. Famous for pizza.
Your friends at your locally owned Napa Auto Parts store in downtown Owatonna know your vehicles have really taken a beating. Now through the end of April, take advantage of $30, $60, $90, or $120 savings on Napa premium shocks and struts. Plus, save $7 to $10 on Napa Lawn and Garden and Napa Marine Batteries. Napa Auto Parts, 122 West Pearl in Owatonna.
Speed the Sauce Man here. Will you lend me an ear?
Our newest sauce is finally ready to eat. It packs a punch of heat with just the right amount of sweet. Get ready to greet another tasty cookie treat. Try it out on meat. Another food you love to eat.
Hey, barbecue lovers. You can now find our newest sauce, Cookie Sweet and Spicy, on the shelves of your local grocer. Learn more at cookiesbbq.com and on Facebook. And remember, smart cookies use cookies.
Midwest Collision has earned a reputation as this area's collision repair professionals. Locally owned with 40 years of combined experience, Bob and his technicians will restore your vehicle back to pre-accident condition. If you're involved in an accident, Midwest Collision Center in Faribault can handle all your repairs, including brakes, shocks, and alignments. All insurance claims are welcome, and they provide you with a free loaner vehicle while yours is being fixed. Call Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. till 5 p.m. 332-2434. That's 332-2434.
This driver's segment is brought to you by Huber Supply and WeldingOutfitter.com.
Welcome back to the driver's segment here on the Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure to be talking to National Sprint Car Hall of Fame driver, Mr. Brad Doty. And Brad, let's start off talking about what you are currently doing right now. Race fans can find you when they're listening to race coverage on MAV TV. And Brad, you really do a great job of bringing the events on the television to life.
Oh, well, thank you. If you ask what I'm doing at the moment, the off season's been a long one. Did the PRI show like everybody else, but haven't been to a race function for quite a while, and I appreciate the comment on TV. Most recently was on MAV TV with Ralph Shaheen and the Kokopah Winter Series, mostly known for with the War of Outlaws races, which have been on many, many networks. In the last couple of years, it's been CBS Sportsnet, and so haven't heard any news on what's going to happen this year, if they're going to have any TV or not. I hope they do, but my plan is to do that, and then, of course, I co-promote the World of Outlaws race at Lima Land Motorsports Park in July, so we're getting ready to start our ticket sales on that. So it's been a busy time. I write a column for Sprint Car and Midget Magazine also, and I'm trying to finish up as we speak, and really lots of things still going on, just not going to very many races.
Did you have any idea when you got into the broadcast business how many people you would run into who had no idea what a sprint car was or how it worked? Because you can really tell by some of their comments on the air that they've never seen one or don't know how it works.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of TV. You know, you hope to reach people that have never been, maybe, and turn them into fans, you know, that'll go out and buy a ticket and go and support an event in particular the Woodland War of Outlaws, when they come to, you know, a certain area of the country, that maybe people that have seen them on TV will come out and buy a ticket. But even on the local shows, you know, local promoters benefit from sprint cars being on TV because, again, you know, they may have people in their neighborhood that heard that these little sprint cars run at so-and-so track 20 miles down the road, but they had never been, but they catch them on TV and say, hey, that looks like fun, let's go watch them. So hopefully it trickles down and helps the promoters and everybody in the sport overall in the long run.
I have also watched you on the Speed Sport News broadcast. The episode that stands out is the one right after the Tony Stewart incident. That show answered a lot of questions for myself and I think a lot of the people watching.
Well, I'll have to admit that was the absolute toughest TV segment I've ever done in my life. It's the most nervous I've ever been because obviously it was a touchy subject. Knowing Tony Stewart personally, the last thing we wanted to do was to try to be too much or too pro Tony Stewart and condemn Ward in any way or point fingers or blame anybody. And it was hard to try to stay neutral but just point out the facts of why things may have happened the way they did kind of thing, you know. And it was tough, I'll have to admit. It was very hard.
I think you guys did a great job with that show. My show, The Dirt Show, also promotes Sprint and Midget Magazine. It's something that I look forward to seeing in my mailbox every single month. You can click on my website right now and find out how to subscribe. What I like is the parts of your publication, the editorials, and the great columnists, and also the photography. That has to be a fun job to write for that magazine. But also, like the Tony Stewart segment, the weight of the words that you write in that magazine have a lot of impact.
Yeah, the hardest part of writing for Sprint Car and Midget Magazine is coming up with a subject for every month, you know, deciding on what to write about. And sometimes I really, really struggle with that. They want a minimum of 650 words, and sometimes I struggle to get to that point, and other times I'm 1,500 to 2,000 and trying to edit it down, you know. So it depends on the subject, and kind of like TV, I've had no formal training in broadcasting for TV, and I've had no formal training or any kind of writing, even in high school. So kind of just fell into that and have been doing it for many, many years, and I think I've gotten to the point where Doug Ald, the editor of Sprint Car and Midget Magazine, has to do a lot less work on my columns as far as editing than he used to. So it's fun to do, and it's kind of neat to know that people read it. I do try to keep in the back of my mind that the people that read it are taking it seriously and hopefully believing in what I say, so I try to be careful of how I do word things.
Still wide open. This is a book that I recommend to every sprint car fan. They need to read this one. Dave Argabright's books are incredible. I've read Doug Wolfgang's, Larry Moore's, and yours. What is the book process like? Because, like you say, writing a column is tough. I can't imagine compiling everything you need for a book.
Still Wide Open was the first book that Dave Argabright had ever written. The first one we did back in 1999. Now we've done a second edition a few years ago and added a few new chapters to it with a different cover and stuff and added a few more pictures to a collector's version. But that first one, like I said, was Dave's first, and really, really proud of the way it turned out. And Dave will admit that that was a big stepping stone for him, which, as you just mentioned, some of the books, I think he's done 7 or 8 total now with a lot of different subjects. And we both learned a lot doing that first one. And there were a lot of things that were left out that if we could do it over again, I would try to make sure that we got in. But I'm the same way with TV, especially live TV. Whenever it's over, I think, gosh, I should have said this, I should have done that, why didn't I speak up here and there kind of thing. And even as a driver, I did that. As a driver, I always critiqued myself and wished I would have done things differently and that kind of thing. But overall, Still Wide Open was a huge success, and I'm very fortunate that Dave chose me to be the subject of his first book.
Subjects that are hard to relive. Was that the hardest part of the process when you got into those stories that were really, really tough to talk about and relive? I vividly remember the part in Wolfie's book about the death of his friend Daryl. I just can't imagine having to talk about those subjects.
I had a few people, not a lot, but I had a few people, mostly just close friends, that thought that we should have delved more into the dark time after my injury. And then I've had others that thought it was just enough. We didn't make it too dark, but yet tried to get the point across that it was a struggle. I mean, it was an emotional and physical struggle for me. And that was the hard part of doing the book, was reliving those dark days and what my family went through and my kids. And my wife was pregnant with our third at the time. And I was so self-absorbed with my personal and physical issues for months afterwards, and then being in a rehab facility, feeling sorry for myself every day, my wife at home with two little kids and being pregnant and driving the hour and a half to 2 hours one-way trip almost daily that she could. It took me doing the book and even years later to stop and realize how my crash and my injury affected so many people, including close friends and other drivers that I didn't consider at the time because, as I said, I was feeling sorry for myself. It took a long time to realize that it wasn't just me that went through that, that it was hard for a lot of people.
Lakeville Speedway, where is that located? What is that track like? And is it still in operation?
Well, it's southwest of Worcester in a little town. Literally, there's maybe a dozen houses in Lakeville, Ohio, and the racetrack. And up on top of the hill, a little quarter mile, some would call it a little podunk racetrack, but it was a great place for Jack and Ed Hodenshield and Kenny Jacobs and myself to get started. And you know, without it, who knows where we'd be today kind of thing. It was in operation long before 1973 or 4 when I started racing there, and it was in operation, unfortunately, just up until a few years ago when it closed. Like a lot of other tracks, it was closed and reopened and sold and resold and different promoters, and then finally they had an auction a year or two ago that rumors have it that an Amish fella bought it, which didn't really make a lot of sense to a lot of us because, you know, racetracks, the different things that were used in the clay and the dirt over the years and the motor oil in the pits and that kind of stuff, you wonder about farming it, and the rumor is that it's up for sale again because they found out that they can't farm on it. So I don't really know. I don't want to spread any bad rumors or untruths, but right now it's sitting idle, and whether it will ever resell and be opened again as another racetrack, only time will tell, I guess.
We have lost many tracks in our listening area over the last 30 to 40 years. Are there tracks that you love to race at that no longer exist besides the obvious one, which would be Ascot?
That's the first one that definitely comes to mind because I talk about it a lot. Won my biggest race there, and it was just a magical place for me. Southern California, being an Ohio guy, even to this day, whenever I get a chance to go to California, my eyes are wide open. I can't get enough of sightseeing and just seeing things. And Ascot was special. Boy, other ones, Baylands was another one in California. One of the places, there were several that I was leading War of Outlaws races and thought I was going to win and had a mechanical problem or I just screwed up and lost it. But Baylands, I started like 18th in the main event and took the lead and led it through several red flags. And we were already past curfew, and every red flag, I just knew that they were going to drop the checker. The race was going to be over. And they said, nope, we're going to keep going. And five laps, they said, we're going to go to the next red or five more laps. And I was counting laps down and coming for the white flag. I broke a drive line. And lost that World of Outlaws race. Again, that would have been my first, but it has closed down. It was a special place. It was up in the San Jose area, and it always put on some good racing.
In your book, a couple of pictures really stand out. It seems like you really enjoyed Victory Lane at Ascot.
Yeah, there were many reasons to enjoy Victory Lane. The other thing that Ascot was notorious for were the trophy girls, and Agajanian family always made sure that there were a lot of reasons for the photographers to line up and want to be in Victory Lane and make sure they got a lot of good pictures, and that was just part of what made Ascot so special. I mean, the palm trees in the infield and the history of not only the drivers that raced there and won. Movies were filmed there, TV shows were filmed there, and whenever you went to Ascot, you didn't know, you know, a lot of times a celebrity, an actor might be there walking around the infield. So to me, you know, being an Ohio boy, Midwesterner, growing up on the farm in Ohio, that was all big-time stuff to me.
You touched on a great subject there. That was my next question. The picture of the lineup at the Pacific Coast Nationals in 1987. Sammy Swindell, Steve Kinzer, Bobby Davis Jr., Ron Schumann, Doug Wolfgang, and yourself. All of you are now Hall of Famers. Do you ever see there being that much talent in one series ever again? I mean, you look at the ASCS. A lot of guys probably will go from there to the Hall of Fame and the Pennsylvania Posse. But to have that many talented Hall of Famers in one group.
Oh, wow. Something I hadn't thought about. I mean, obviously, the World of Outlaws, there's a lot of talent today. Still is, you know, even with Steve Kinzer and Sammy Swindell retiring and Steve semi-retired and Wolfgang gone now. And, of course, Bobby Davis Jr.'s moved on. And, you know, a lot of people in certain eras think that well, boy, when this driver's gone or that driver's gone, the series is done, you know. But I'd like to think there's enough young people out there that are following the young drivers of today, and there's drivers, look at Donnie Schatz, my goodness, what he's done, and there's people that maybe in their 20s or 30s right now that in another 20 years are going to think, man, that was a great era. When Donnie Schatz was dominating everything, that was such a great era. So I think the sport will continue, whether there'll be, you know, that many guys go to the Hall of Fame out of one group, that's tough to answer. But one thing about it, history has shown that drivers come and go, and thankfully the sport of especially sprint car racing, which is my passion, has continued to thrive.
Winning that particular race really had to validate to yourself that you could win anytime, anywhere, and that Ohio boy had made it.
It did. I always, looking back, and I've talked to some drivers today, even some veteran drivers, that a lot of people talk about drivers having huge egos and so on and so forth, and I never felt comfortable with my career. I never felt good enough. I never felt like I had made it, no matter what level, no matter whose car I was driving. I always felt like I was looking over my shoulder and that kind of thing. But winning Ascot, the Pacific Coast Nationals, which was ironically the final World of Outlaws race in 1986, and then the season opener was right back at Ascot in 1987 with a two-day race, and I won both of those. So I won three World of Outlaws races in a row at Ascot. So that's why it's a no-brainer that, besides all the other things we mentioned about it being my favorite track, I seem to run well there. And, you know, my confidence level was always high there after those Pacific Coast Nationals, and I had run well there with and without the wing and other cars and stuff too. And to answer your question, yeah, after winning any driver, when you win a big race like that, it does help your confidence a little, and realizing that, you know, maybe I do belong, and maybe I can get the job done. I've even told my kids and grandkids now that I watch some videos, and matter of fact, somebody brought up the other day about Doug Wolfgang and many others who've run the alphabet at Knoxville Nationals. Well, Wolfgang's is remembered so well because it was televised. But in 1985, I won the Friday night non-qualifier and started in the middle of the C and won it, started last in the B and won it, started last in the A and ran sixth. But a lot of people don't know that because it wasn't as widely televised. But I see stuff like that, and I have to admit, I look back and I think, gosh, maybe I was harder on myself than I should have been. You know, maybe I wasn't quite as untalented as I thought I was. So that's one thing I tell a lot of drivers today, again, young and old, that try to keep their head up and don't let themselves get down too much when things aren't going well, because it can hurt your career.
Brad, what was the favorite car you ever drove?
Oh, favorite. Probably the most fun I had was driving the Ron Pack 4A car, and I believe it was 85. That's the car I ran the alphabet in. I was just talking about at Knoxville, because it was just a young guy. Ron Pack owned it, but he was a hands-off owner. He only showed up every once in a while. And there were a couple of young guys that were running the team, mainly Tony Wilson, who was more or less the team manager. So we had a lot of fun. Wasn't the best of equipment, didn't have a lot of spares, so there wasn't a lot of expected out of us. And we had an exceptionally good year. We won a lot of races. They were young guys. We had a lot of fun. So that was probably the most fun. What most people probably remember me in, though, is the Coors Light 18. That's the one that I had the most success in. Probably the best-looking car was the Gary Stanton number 75 that I ran in 1984 that had what's called a Corky's Trick Paint job, which was real custom paint, West Coast style sprint car look to it. And it was on the cover of the first full wide open book. It's that car's. And of course, Bowers Cole car was my rookie season car, and it's always going to be special with Bowers Cole 28 car.
What was your biggest disappointment? Maybe a car owner you wished you would have said yes to, or a race where you could see the checkered flag but never made it?
Oh, man, I don't know how much time you have left, but lots and lots of disappointments. And that's another thing that people, you know, they talk about driver and the drivers and their huge egos. You lose way more than you ever win. I don't care if you're Steve Kinders, Donnie Schatz, or who you are, Sammy Swindell. You're going to lose a lot more than you're going to win. And I was going to win in Butler, Michigan, my first World of Outlaws race, coming for a couple laps to go, and blew a right rear tire. I just told you about Baylands. I was going to win there and broke. The Gold Cup, probably the biggest disappointment. I was leading the Gold Cup at Chico, California, in the Gold Cup, especially back in those days, and it still is, but especially in those days, one of the biggest races, you know, like the Pacific Coast Nationals at Ascot. It was a huge event. It was supposed to be 40 laps. They changed it to 50 laps. I, along with a lot of us, complained at the driver's meeting about it, and raising the laps, should have kept it at 40. And wouldn't you know, I had over a straightaway lead on the 48th lap, just cruising, literally just cruising, and broke an aluminum torque tube, which I have sitting on my bench in my garage to this day, along with the hood and the tail tank off of that car. But I have that torque tube as a reminder in my shop that I was going to win the Gold Cup. No doubt about it. Some drivers say, well, I knew I was going to win this, that, and the other. But when you have over a straightaway lead with just two laps to go, everything's just rolling along fine and break the torque tube, that was a huge disappointment. There were many. There were lots of them that could have been and should have been, but losing the Gold Cup in 1984 was probably my biggest disappointment.
Put the 1998 Kings Royal into words.
Oh, wow. That was special. What you're talking about when I got back in the car, almost 10 years to the day of my injury at the same racetrack, and it was live TV on TNN. I was in the broadcast booth. I actually called the race right up through the B main. They got me down out of the booth. I hopped in my van, put my fire suit on, got in the Coors Light 18 replica car, and went out and paced the main event for that Kings Royal race. And like I said, my first time back in a race car at the very racetrack that ruined my career, ended my career, and got out of the car, got back up in the booth with four laps into the A main, and I finished calling the race live on TV, still wearing my fire suit. So that was special. My wife and all three kids were there. You know, my oldest, Brandy, was only five. My son would have been about three. And then, of course, like I said, my wife was pregnant, so the younger ones had never seen me race. It was a special event for them and me and everybody involved, and that was a night that I'll never forget.
Thoughts on Knoxville. What makes it special?
Well, besides paying $150,000 to win, $150,000 to win, a lot of drivers will say it's all about the trophy, which it is, and putting your name on that list. You know, it's also, for a sprint car driver making a living driving a sprint car, that's a huge payday. And I think that adds to the appeal, even with the fans, the drivers. When the fans know that that kind of money is on the line, they know that drivers will maybe take extra risks and do things that they might not normally do. And just the history of it, it's got a long line of history. I think that's what makes any event a big event, is how long it's been in existence and the list of drivers who have won it previously. And it's just a huge get-together of fans from literally all over the world. There's obviously a big contingent of sprint car fans in Australia, but at that race, I mean, I know there have been people from South Africa and England, and gosh, you name it. They come from literally around the world to come to Knoxville Nationals. And rightly so, call it, sprint car racing Super Bowl or our Indy 500 or Daytona 500 for sprint car racing.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, it's really a treasure for all of us to enjoy, and you, being one of the inducted members, that has to really validate any doubts you ever had yourself and your driving ability.
Well, yeah, there was a writer that actually I know who publicly questioned me getting into the Hall of Fame, especially at the time when I did, which was 2001, and it bothered me, and it made me question, did I deserve to be there? Did I win as many races as so-and-so who may not be in? There's kind of a, I don't want to say an asterisk, but to me, my induction was driver/media member. A lot of live TV prior to that kept me in the spotlight, kept me involved in sprint car racing. So I think the combination of what I did for the sport as an ambassador and a driver, the combination is what some might say, arguably, is why I got into the Hall of Fame. But for whatever reason, obviously, I'm very, very humbled and feel privileged to be there. It's quite an accomplishment. And just to see the building and see how Knoxville, the raceway and the museum and the Hall of Fame has grown over the years, and it's incredible. We talked about the Stanton car that's on the cover of my book, and to me, the best-looking car I drove. I actually have a kind of a retro T-shirt with that car on it with five or six other cars on the back that is available for sale at the Hall of Fame. You can go to sprintcarstuff.com, and part of the proceeds from the shirt actually is going to the Hall of Fame on their new expansion, which is a new building they want to build for warehousing stuff where they can keep things revolving into the Hall of Fame. And so it's an ongoing thing at the Hall of Fame just to keep it going and keep the fundraisers going. And I'm glad I can just in a small way help to keep the dream alive, as they say.
Brad, thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show. I've been looking forward to this interview for a year and a half since the day I finished your book. So thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you having me on, and it's a lot of fun. Anytime you have any other questions, don't hesitate. Let me know, and good luck with your show.
The best tools and equipment on the market are now available with a click of your mouse. WeldingOutfitter.com offers plasma equipment, welders, torch equipment, safety gear, abrasives, and much more, all with great service, affordable prices, and timely delivery right to your door. WeldingOutfitter.com even has a clearance page for the bargain hunters. Take a bite out of high prices with hassle-free shopping at WeldingOutfitter.com. Shopping any other way is for the dogs.
When it comes to your farm or any other business, you want to deal with professionals. Coles Electric has the capabilities to handle large industrial jobs or a job as small as fixing your doorbell, all with the same attention to detail. New construction, renovation, security systems, electrical for barns, shops, or yard lighting. Coles Electric can handle it all. Call Coles Electric, 507-451-1387. That's 507-451-1387. See them on Facebook or check out their project photos at ColesElectric.com.
Click.
You're shopping for a car, you say.
Don't you know? I'll save the day.
It's your buddy. I'm your mouse. Shop for cars right from your house.
FindCars.com.
In your jammies, kick some tires. Find the car that you desire. Just a simple click and hey, find your car and zoom away. So tell the neighbors,
wake the kids.
Heck, go call your mom. The web address for all the stuff is findcars.com.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor in Blooming Prairie is the place to go for your next lawnmower purchase. Check out our selection of quality, dependable Husqvarna mowers. From walk mowers to tractors to zero turns, Husqvarna has a mower for every size lawn and every size budget. Be sure to ask about 20% off your qualified zero turn purchase with Husqvarna's bundle program. Stop by Miners Outdoor today to see what Doug has to offer. Financing available to qualified buyers. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Hi, this is Cody Huber with Huber Supply Company. Brand new from Lincoln Electric comes the 210MP. This is a MIG, stick, and TIG machine. Runs off of 110, 220. Comes with a fully digital screen to read your settings easier. Don't know how to weld it? Select material, weld wire, and gas that you're using, and it will automatically set itself. Weld up to 3/8 material on single pass. And the best part? It's only $9.99. Stop out and try it today for yourself at any of our three locations, or have it shipped right to your door online at hubersupply.com. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m. Now open Saturdays, 8 to 1. Mason City.
Why should your business choose Foamcraft Packaging as their full-service packaging company?
Hi, this is Bob Ayers from Foamcraft Packaging. It is vitally important that you select a partner in the packaging business. Foamcraft has the capabilities and experience to satisfy your everyday packaging needs, along with having the versatility to take care of those projects that require specialized packaging. Foamcraft is large enough to tackle all of your packaging requirements, yet small enough to provide the individualized services you need to ensure quality products for you and your customers. Visit foamcraftpackaging.com or call us at 507-455-2893.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is always a pleasure to be joined by Mr. Ron Bernhagen from St. Croix Valley Raceway. And Ron, you can feel it in the air. The weather is finally starting to break, and it feels like racing season.
Absolutely, Clay. You hit the nail on the head. It feels like spring. We all sit through a long winter up here in our area with no racing. The weather has turned. Spring has sprung. I think a lot of people are looking forward to the 2015 race season, and no better way to do that than on The Dirt Show, talking to you and all the folks out there about St. Croix Valley Raceway, the Upper Midwest Sprint Car Series, and just racing in general.
Ron, not only are you the promoter at St. Croix Valley Raceway, you also run the UMSS Sprint Car Series, and you are just as big a race fan as anybody out there. And our guest opening up the show today, Brad Doty, what an awesome guy and what a great driver.
Oh, Clay, I sat in so many stands at different racetracks watching Brad Doty back in his driving days. What a great driver, what a great ambassador of the sport. And what a phenomenal announcer now that he is not driving any longer. You can watch the big sprint car shows on TV and have Brad as a commentary and just enjoy the broadcast so much more because of Brad's insight and obviously because of how Brad is as a person. It's easy to see that he's a great human being, and it's just a pleasure to enjoy his commentary on the TV shows and when he was a driver to watch him drive.
Something that I noticed that seems funny to me is he'll be at a track doing the announcing, and it's obvious from the audio that the other drivers know absolutely nothing about a sprint car because some of the comments they'll make, I don't know how Brad keeps from chuckling.
Well, we have to all kind of hold our breath sometimes. Sprint cars are a different animal than all the other race cars out there, the stock cars and the modifieds and so forth. And Brad does a great job of doing his business and keeping to his task. And you're right, he can do a great job. And sometimes you have to chuckle about what some of the other people say about sprint cars.
May 1st, the Icebreaker Challenge. Now, that's going to get the track opened up at St. Croix Valley Raceway, and it should be an awesome night to get started.
Yeah, St. Croix Valley Raceway, we're going into our fourth full season. We're going to actually start off on the 24th with just a test and tune. Anybody would be welcome. Any type of car can come out that night and test their car out before we actually start the season. And then on May 1st, you're correct, the Icebreaker Challenge is what we're calling it this year. We're having most of our classes there that night. We're giving the traditional sprint cars and the modifieds one more week off. They can be out there to practice that night, but we're going to run all of our other classes that night along with the vintage cars, and it'll be a nice way to get the season started, and we're hoping for good weather this year. The last couple of springs have been kind of tough on a lot of people, not just racetracks, but farmers and other people who depend on decent weather, and we're just hoping for better weather this year.
Your official season opener is Friday night, May 8th. Let's go through the classes on a typical night at St. Croix Valley Raceway that the fans will get to see.
Sure. On a typical night, and again starting May 8th, we have the Mom's Rock Night because that weekend is Mother's Day. On any given night at St. Croix Valley Raceway, you will see six different classes of cars. We have the Upper Midwest Sprint Car Traditional Sprint Cars, which is a sprint car without a wing, not a top wing and not a front wing. We also run the Wissota Modifieds, which is the top modified class for Wissota. We also run the Wissota Midwest Modifieds, which is a little bit of a step down from the Wissota Modifieds. They put on an awesome show at our racetrack. You know, it's very typical to see the Midwest Modifieds 2, 3, and 4 wide. Fans will also see the Upper Midwest Sprint Car Series Micro Sprints. 3 years ago up here, Clay, nobody knew what a Micro Sprint was. And a Micro Sprint is literally a small sprint car with a 600cc motorcycle engine in it, and we have drivers anywhere from 11 years old, as a matter of fact, our champion last year was 12 years old, all the way up into their 70s. So it's a great class to get into for not a lot of money for just about any age group. We also have the Pier Stocks out there. They are front-wheel drive Pier Stocks and also rear-wheel drive Pier Stocks, so it's kind of fun to watch the cars out there together in the different ways that they drive. And then we also have a four-cylinder class, and we also run minivans with them. So you can't see minivans race at very many other tracks, and they kind of have a high center of gravity, and it's fun to watch them kind of lean over in the turns. And every once in a while, because of that high center of gravity, they'll get upside down. But on a weekly basis, Clay, we run six different classes of cars at St. Croix Valley Raceway.
Speaking of things you can't see at other tracks, looking down your list, carload night, hilarious trailer races, free hot dogs, buy one, get one, dollar beers, you have birthday cake night, bike giveaways, there is something for everyone going on.
Yeah, you know, racetracks, what we do is we race cars. You know, we try to bring in different cars throughout the season, like we'll bring in the wing sprint cars 4 times a year, and we'll bring in some other types of cars, but we also like to have different theme nights. So we have to mix it up a little bit. And you mentioned a lot of them. We try to be different out there. We also have a night where you can actually take your car around the track at the end of the night, your own car that you drove to the track in. And like you said, free hot dog night, dollar beer night. We're going to do that a couple of times during the season. Carload night for $24 if you bring a van out there and you can get 9 people buckled into your van, and the whole carload gets in for $24. Yeah, with the trailer races, that's one of our bigger nights of the year. It's pretty funny to watch a car or a truck go around the track with a trailer behind it and try and watch somebody else try to knock the trailer off the back of somebody else's vehicle. It is funny. It is just unbelievable. In fact, you can hear the people laughing in the stands over the roar of the cars on the track. It's unbelievable. July 3rd, we have a huge fireworks display out at the track. It isn't one of these little fireworks displays that lasts a couple of minutes. It is intense. It is one of the nicest, if not the nicest, fireworks displays in all the area. Yeah, the big bike giveaway. Last year, we gave away almost 50 bikes. We want to break that record that we set last year and give away more than 50 bikes. So those are some of the things we like to do on the different theme nights to engage our fans. We also do a lot of giveaways during the night. People like to be entertained. They don't want to sit there and watch cars go around the track all night. And so we try to entertain them all night and try to get them out at a decent time. Our goal is 10 o'clock every night. Most of the time we make it. Sometimes we don't for various reasons. But we enjoy doing the different theme nights, and we're getting better at doing them.
Ron, as you mentioned, four big nights, May 22nd, July 24th, August 28th, and ending September 11th with the Cuba Memorial. You're going to have the UMSS 360 Wing Series Sprint Cars, and those are going to be some awesome nights to mark on your calendar and make sure to get to St. Croix Valley Raceway.
The Wing Sprint Cars are really popular in our area and gaining more popularity, and as you mentioned, Clayne, yeah, we're going to have the Wing Sprint Cars out at the track four different times this year. We always start the season out with the Davey Tabor Memorial on Memorial Day weekend, a great night to remember a strong supporter of the UMSS. Davey fielded at one time two different cars, and unfortunately, a couple years ago, he died of heart complications, and we remember him with that night. And in July 24th, we honor Dan Grahams. Dan Grahams raced with the Upper Midwest Sprint Car Series, and unfortunately a few years ago he lost his life in a car accident, and we honor him on that night. Our Open Wheel Nationals, I think it's going to be the fourth annual. As the name says, it's Open Wheel Night. We have two different kinds of modifieds. We have two different kinds of sprint cars, the Wing Sprint Cars and the traditional sprint cars, and you won't see a fender in the place. And it's getting more and more popular every year. And we really look forward to presenting that show to the fans in August, on August 28th. And then to end the season, actually our last race of the season on September 11th, it is going to be the 23rd annual Cuba Memorial. We are honoring Joe and Jimmy Cuba's parents on that night. This year it is going to be something we've never done before with the UMSS. And something we've never done at St. Croix Valley Raceway before. First of all, the purse is going to be a great one for the drivers, so we should have a lot of Wing Sprint cars in the pits that night. It's going to be a $5,500 to win purse with a nice payoff all the way back. And the Wing Sprint cars, in honor of the number 55 and the number 5 for the Cuba family, that's one reason why it's going to be $5,500 to win, we're going to have a 55-lap feature. We are going to have a pit stop in the middle of the race. We're going to throw a yellow, and all the cars are going to come to the front stretch. We haven't decided what we're going to allow them to do or not do. They're going to have 5 minutes and 55 seconds to work on their sprint cars, and then we're going to push them off for the last half of the race. So we've never done that before with the UMSS. We've never done that before at St. Croix Valley Raceway. Again, it's going to be a really big purse. We expect there to be a lot of cars there that night. And it's going to help that the next night at Cedar Lake Speedway, 30 miles down the road, is the Richard Memorial Race for Wing Sprint Cars. So, again, we expect a lot of cars to come in from out of town to be a part of both the Friday night event and the Saturday night event at Cedar Lake Speedway.
Ron, if they would like more information on St. Croix Valley Raceway or your UMSS winged micro and traditional sprint cars, what are the best ways to find out?
Well, the best way to find out information on the track and on the series is going to our websites. We have a couple of really nice websites that driver websites made for us. St. Croix Valley Raceway website is scvraceway.com, and the UMSS website is umsprints.com.
Ron, as always, thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Clayne.
The big boys with the big toys. Dale Linton. job done. We can get it done fast, we can get it done right.
We're not messing around with those sissy toys.
Fire them up, let the horses run. The big boys with the big toys. Dale Enterprises.
Spring is here, and it's time to get your lawn ready for a summer of enjoyment. Hi, this is Amy from Wolf & Sons Yard Services. Spring cleanup, lawn aeration, and a spring weed control application can be done now to give you that lush, thick, green lawn you can enjoy all summer long. Call Wolf & Sons Yard Services today at 455-3524. And you'll be well on your way to the lawn you've always wanted.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact: Arrow Racing Wheels can be seen on dirt and asphalt tracks around the nation. Fact: Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact: The Arrow 59 Series wheel has won more Sprint Cup, Nationwide, and Camping World Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see arrowracingwheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Whether you're heading out to a remote campsite to relax or on a ride with a group of friends, you can rely on your hitch from Hitchdock. Hitchdock has been producing hitches for Harleys and Metric motorcycles since 1989. Right here in Minnesota, all welds on Hitchdock hitches are ground and polished with no visible welds. Then chrome plated. Installation is easy because there's no drilling on most bikes. Tough, reliable, good looking, and American-made. Put a Hitchdock hitch on your bike today and make a statement. Call 800-446-8222 or see Hitchdock.com and get hooked up today.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by Executive Director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, Bob Baker. And Bob, thank you to you and your staff. You made winter in Minnesota and Iowa just a little bit easier with your Sprint Car 101 presentation.
Well, Clayton, it's great to be back on The Dirt Show, and it was a lot of fun taking the Sprint Car 101 programs on the road this winter. We started last year at the PRI trade show in Indianapolis and did a Sprint Car 101 there, had over 100 people show up for it, and it was very popular, so we took a couple of them on the road up to northern Iowa and Minnesota this year, and looks like we're going to be doing more of those Sprint Car 101s on the road in the future. Right now, the plans are for every third Thursday to have those here on our second floor at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, so our next one coming up will be the third Thursday of April, on April the 16th, and it's a free admission program where people can come in and sit and ask questions and just have a good time, relax, and talk sprint car racing.
Bob, you were just telling me off the air how beautiful of a day it is down there at Knoxville right now, and you have to be excited about the Knoxville Raceway season opener on Saturday night, April 18th.
Well, you know, there's a couple reasons we're excited. One of them is the great weather we've got today. It's 68 and sunny. Not a cloud in the sky here in Knoxville, but the last three weekends, the Duncan family has been working on the racetrack, getting it in shape and getting the new dirt they put on the racetrack in the off-season worked in. The track looks like it's race-ready right now, but they say they still have some more finishing touches to put on it before opening night on April the 18th here in Knoxville.
Reading my Hallmark newsletter that came in the mail over the weekend, I see you have an incredible Doug Wolfgang display going up soon.
Yes, we're going to start our next Salute to Champion program on June the 12th. It's the day before the World of Outlaws visit Knoxville Raceway on Saturday, June the 13th. And on June 12th, we'll open up our Salute to Champion Doug Wolfgang. And right now, plans are to have six of the race cars that Doug raced during his illustrious career on display here in the museum, along with his five Knoxville Nationals trophies, driver's uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Doug's career, and, of course, some videos, T-shirts, and posters like we've had for our past Salute to Champions exhibits.
Something else that has you excited is the opening of the NSL right in your backyard.
Well, you know, Todd Quering started the National Sprint League in the offseason, and is the first race for the NSL is going to be at 34 Raceway over in West Burlington, Iowa on April the 11th. It's great that Todd and the National Sprint League have developed a series for the 410 Sprint cars that can race on nights when Knoxville Raceway is not racing, the Friday nights, the Sunday nights, the midweek races, of course the Saturday nights when Knoxville is not going to have sprint car racing. So the guys that race at Knoxville on the 410s will have two places to not only race and make a little bit of money during the weekend on the nights when they're not racing at Knoxville, but also Todd's got a great $350,000 point fund established for the National Sprint League for their first year. You take that and you put it with the Knoxville Raceway point fund that the drivers race for every Saturday night here in Knoxville, And it really is attractive for drivers to come in from outside of the Midwest and race here right in the middle of the country throughout the race season.
Bob, we opened up the program with sprint car driver and race commentator Brad Doty, and I know he is a big supporter of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame, and you've got a special item on sale down there at the museum store.
Yes, we do. You know, Brad is one of our National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductees, and he's a great supporter of our museum, and we've had his t-shirts here for a little while, but they're very popular, especially during the race season, because this is one of the few places you can actually see the shirts. You can buy them online, of course, at Brad's website and Brad's Facebook, but you can come in here and kind of see the different sizes and see what fits and get a close-up, hands-on look at Brad's t-shirts. We're the only place that I know of, though, where you can come in and retail purchase those besides Brad's website, so we're great to be able to help Brad out a little bit and make a few dollars for the Sprint Car Hall of Fame and just encourage our past inductee and inductee of the Hall of Fame, Brad, to stay involved with everything that he does to support sprint car racing.
Bob, I was down there on January 31st and just had an awesome afternoon hanging out at the museum. I was able to walk around with Shane Carson for a little while that day and talk with him. Just had a great time. It's always a good day to come to the Knoxville Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Bob, if they have any questions or would like to find out more about the hours and location, how can they find that out?
A quick phone call to our phone number here, 641-842-6176. We're open 7 days a week and open on Saturdays and Sundays from noon until 5 p.m. Of course, during the race season, we're here on Saturdays from 8 until the races are over Saturday night. But also our website's a great source of information at sprintcarhof.com, and it has our hours, location, phone number, all the other information you need if you'd like to stop by. You know, one of the most fun times to come by, naturally, is before you go to a race at Knoxville Raceway, to stop in, go through the museum, have a little bit of fun in Knoxville, and grab something to eat, and then take in a Saturday night of sprint car racing, where last year Knoxville Raceway averaged over 100 sprint cars per night, and they're anticipating even more of the 410 cars stopping in every Saturday with the National Sprint League that's just starting up this year. So it's going to be a great season of sprint car racing here in Knoxville every Saturday night. Of course, what a lot of people don't know inside our museum is that the cars rotate, and so you can come in a couple of times during the year and see different cars every time that you come through the museum.
Bob, thank you so much for being with us here on the Dirt Show, and we will talk to you throughout the season to keep us updated on what's going on at the museum and Knoxville Raceway.
Wayne, thank you very much, and just a reminder to all your listeners that our 26th annual induction banquet is going to be on Saturday, May the 30th at 12 noon right here in Knoxville, and that's an event that's open to the public. If they'd like to come, it's $25 a ticket. It includes lunch and a fantastic induction banquet for the new Hall of Fame inductees.
Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Clayne.
Fast Shafts have been producing drive shafts for late models, modified, stock cars, dirt trucks, and hobby stocks since 1992. Owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself and has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one choice for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, and shim kits. Call Fast Shafts made by racers, four racers, 800-622-6617.
If you're like me, you hate when your outdoor gas-powered equipment won't start. What I've learned is that most of these breakdowns are caused by ethanol and street gas, which eats up the fuel system, and warranties don't cover fuel-related repairs. Well, the experts at VP Racing Fuels developed a solution called VP Small Engine Fuel. It's an unleaded fuel blend with no ethanol, so it prevents those problems. The unleaded fuel is perfect for four-cycle engines, like lawnmowers or generators, and for two-cycle equipment like chainsaws and trimmers. VP's fuel is pre-mixed with oil. That means no measuring or mixing. Just pour it in and start it up. You'll find VP Small Engine Fuel, or SEF, in quart size and 1 gallon containers for smaller tools, and 5 gallon pails for larger equipment. Try VP Small Engine Fuel, available at the Home Depot, or visit vpsef.com. That's vp-sef.com for more information. VPSEF is for use in small engines only and may not be used in motor vehicles.
Welcome back to our special segment here on the Dirt Show, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings. And as always, we're joined by our friend Speed. And Speed, it is Easter weekend, and you have an outstanding recipe for a double smoked ham.
You betcha, Clayne. I'll tell you what, double smoked ham is special at Easter, but it's also good any time of the year. And for those of you people that have one of our cookies cookbooks, the third edition on page 117 is that recipe. And those of you who don't have a cookbook, if you just want to send $10, which is a super buy, normally it's $20 with shipping, but send $10 to Speed at P.O. Box 458, Wallake, Iowa, and I'll send you the cookbook and cover the shipping, just for putting up with Clayne and I today.
That's an awesome deal, Speed.
Here's a double smoked ham. Get about a half to three-quarter of a pound per person if you're doing a bone-in ham. For about, a 6 to 8 pound ham, bone-in ham, find one that's cured preferably with natural juices. Put it in one of those foil throwaway pans. Put it in your smoker at 225. Leave it in there for about 4 hours. Just take that pan out, then there'll be a lot of juices in the bottom of that pan. Dump those off. Save them for making delicious ham gravy. Put the ham back in that pan again, which by this time is empty, needless to say, because you've dumped the juices out of it. Then take a mixture of 1 cup of our Cookies Western-style barbecue sauce, another cup of our original barbecue sauce, then 1/4 cup of pure maple syrup, and then 3 tablespoons of Rose's lime juice. Mix that together and glaze that ham and go back into that smoker at that 225 and leave it in there for about another, half hour and 45 minutes and pull it out of there. And I'll tell you what, you'll have the most delicious tasting ham you've ever sunk your teeth into.
Speed, that sounds incredible. And I know you have so many great things, from your salsa to your wings and things sauce to all your different barbecue sauces and seasonings. If they'd like to find out more about all of your great products, what is the best way to do that, Speed?
The best thing is just go to our website, which is Cookies, C-O-O-K-I-E-S, and then the letter B and the letter B and the letter Q. com. All the recipes are on there. Just a little inside info, our Wings and Things hot sauce just took first place down at the National Barbecue Convention held in Nashville, Tennessee a couple weeks ago.
Speed, I know we will have you back on throughout the season for some of the greatest tailgating recipes. Tune in right here to Clayne and Speed on the Dirt Show, and thanks for being with us.
Just make sure they stay in the sauce. Just make sure it's cookie sauce, that is.
Sports fans, the brightest stars of NASCAR are about to light up the night again at Kansas Speedway. Megastars Dave, Danica, Carl, Clint, Jeff, and more. Saturday, May 9th, it's our second annual NASCAR Sprint Cup Series night race. Parking is free and coolers welcome. Tickets on sale now with even more seats for $99 or less. Kids tickets, just $29. Call 866-460-RACE or visit KansasSpeedway.com today.
Don't miss the 59th annual GSTA Rod and Custom Spectacular, sponsored by Maury's Ford Store, Saturday and Sunday, April 11th and 12th at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Coliseum. Enjoy the area's finest hot rods, custom street machines, motorcycles, and more. Meet Danielle Colby from the History Channel's American Pickers. Tickets are just $12 for adults. Kids 6 to 15 are $5 and tykes are free. Check out gstarod-custom.com for discount coupons. The GSTA Rod and Custom Spectacular at the State Fairgrounds, April 11th and 12th. Plenty of free parking.
This your old friend Speed the Sauce Man. Welcome to the Dirt Track segment brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasoning.
Tracks will soon be opening throughout the area, but for right now, our closest race results are the USMTS Modified Touring Series King of America Modified Nationals at Humboldt Speedway in Humboldt, Kansas, last Saturday night, March 28th. In the Last Chance Race 1, it was Dustin Strand. Last Chance Race 2, Grant Jungens. In the C Main, it was Casey Arneson. In the B Main, it was the 20 of Rodney Sanders. And in the 100-lap A Main, it was Jason Hughes taking the $10,500 paycheck, with Rodney Sanders in second and Derek Ramirez in third. The World Outlaw Sprint Cars are racing in California. Last Saturday night, March 28th, they were at Chico, California at Silver Dollar Speedway. In the heat races, it was Austin Wheatley, Paul McMahon, DJ Netto, and Brad Sweet with wins. The fast qualifier was Kerry Mattson, and in the 40-lap A Main, it was Donnie Schatz over Tanner Thorson, with Kerry Mattson in third. Sunday night, the World Outlaw Sprint Cars were at Antioch Speedway in Antioch, California. In the heat races, it was Bud Kading, Darren Pittman, Paul McMahon, Kerry Mattson with wins. Your fast qualifier was Brad Sweet. And in the 30-lap A main, it was Darren Pittman over Paul McMahon with Kerry Mattson in third. The two World Outlaw late model races in March were canceled due to weather.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.